You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. We head to our 102.5, the game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, talking all things NFL. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Super.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, I want to start on the Buffalo Bills. So, a great season for Buffalo once again. And once again, they run into this absolute machine in the playoffs, that is the Kansas City Chiefs. And, I mean, you could see it on Josh Allen's face after the game. Just total devastation. And it's just kind of the same old story where you just can't get past Kansas City in the playoffs. Right. So, what do you make of kind of where they go from here and the fallout from all this, having lost to the Chiefs now for the fourth time in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what now has become the question to define the Chiefs? You know, four playoff losses to the Chiefs now, and you know, and in different ways, with different personnel, different criticisms coming out of all of them. I think the one thing for me, having covered the game and sat there and really watched how it unfolded, was just how shockingly limited the offense looked at times, where, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're saying, okay, you've got Josh Allen. If ever there were a quarterback that fits into offenses that are vertical and have the ability to throw the football down the field, you know, you're watching over and over this offense is throwing the football behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, and you're saying, like, what are you doing? Like, where is the big play possibility here? Do you not trust Josh Allen, or do you just not have the pieces to seize big plays in this game? And, you know, Keon Coleman's obviously a player that they drafted, you know, coming into this season, but, you know, he's a player that didn't have a ton of separation in college. You know, Khalil Shakir is, you know, probably the most vertical player that remains on that offense. Size issues are there for him. I think for me, I thought, okay, you have a great team, you have a great quarterback, but you don't really have, minus Stephon Diggs, and they convinced themselves coming out of last season, we don't need this guy anymore. They don't have really a big-time downfield playmaker, and it showed, I thought, late in the game against the Chiefs. So for me, I thought, all right, well, what's one thing you could change coming off of this game? Because you got to find something, right? And I just thought, like, vertically down the field, big time playmaker. They don't have that anymore. And I don't know that Diggs would have been that for them. You know, he'd aged out. Obviously, they subtracted him from the offense last season, and the offense got better. But they never really fully addressed it. Even when they drafted Coleman, when I talked to people in personnel, you know, they're like, he's size-wise, he's what you're looking for, but he doesn't really fit the X receiver. He's not going to be a burner down the field. It's going to create a lot of separation. If anything, maybe they should play him as a big slot. They really didn't do that with him. They tried to keep him at the X. And you saw, I mean, he was limited as a player. He can't get a ton of separation in college. He couldn't do it on the NFL level. So I think that's really, it was clear to me that's something that was lacking. But at this point, the Chiefs have beat them you know, four times in kind of four different ways. And I said it leading into the game, if Josh Allen doesn't win this one, we're going to start to look at him like Philip Rivers. And I know Robert Griffin has come out afterward and said this, but, you know, this is a comparison I was making a couple weeks ago. This is Philip Rivers running into Peyton Manning. It's Philip Rivers running into Tom Brady. Like, at some point, you can't just put up numbers and be prolific on offense. You have to win these games. And at this point, Allen hasn't been able to do it. And, I think I've covered all four of these losses. And every single time
I've
walked
away.
Yeah, right. The common thread. But it's you see the damage on that guy. You see it occurring. Like, the 1,000-yard stare is so real with Josh Allen. And to me, I think this is it. Like, if they don't figure it out now at this point after four losses, and I kind of felt like it was like this after loss four, or after loss three. You know, I was like, all right, if they don't figure this out, you know, it's just never going to happen. But that feels very, very real, you know, for the Bills. And I would imagine at some point you have to consider a coaching change, no matter how good Sean McDermott's been and how great the record's been. If you have a guy who can't break through against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have been retooling constantly, you know, if guys going in and out the door, you got to change the head coach. Like, it's just it's hard to say that, because it's not like Sean McDermott hasn't been successful, but you have to be able to get over the hump at some point. And in a weird way, it's almost a little like you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tony Dungy. Like, they were like, we're just not getting this done with Tony. Like, we need to go get John Gruden. We need to go get something else to change the matrix here. And it definitely feels that way with Buffalo.
Yeah, I do. I do think I would like to see the exact same game played with a legit deep threat. I mean, at least the Bills, yeah, I think have that as something to identify, but it's gotta be way past old. All right. The other guy on the other side, Charles, of course, we've had the GOAT discussion today, the GOAT discussion, and it'll go on for years and decades. But, I mean, if Mahomes gets a third straight, which no one has ever done in the Super Bowl era,
right,
with apologies to Robbie's Packers, mm-hmm, what kind of benefit is that to him in the discussion? And in your mind, does he have to get seven or eight rings for that to even be a discussion, or is it? Or do you not look at it that way?
Well, I mean, look, he's 29, and they're already on the doorstep of doing something that Brady – if we're going to say Brady's the GOAT, right? Like, I mean, that's the premise here. We're going to start with, yep, Brady, and we're going to say he's the GOAT. What he did with, you know, New England in terms of a dynasty is the defining dynasty of the NFL, at least, you know, in the Super Bowl era now. At 29, I mean, Mahomes is about to do something. Well, he's already done something, potentially. He's already done something that Brady and New England never did, which is win two Super Bowls and now be on the doorstep, be in the game for the third, and the opportunity is three-peat. So automatically, we're talking about, if we're comparing resumes, he has put something on his resume that Brady has never had. And if he wins this game, he's put something on his resume that nobody in the Super Bowl era ever has. So it creates a more interesting argument, because you're like, well, okay, does he really have to win, you know, seven Super Bowls? And we're comparing him and Brady because he's now doing something that Brady never did. And, you know, I think that boosts his the argument of, you know, Mahomes being you know, in that conversation, or, you know, potentially, you know, taking the lead between these two guys. It's, I hate to say that, because this is like our talk, right? This is, if it's just us hanging out, this is what we'll argue about, right? Yeah. Like, and the great thing, though, is that he's 29. Like, this is going to go on for a while. It's barring injury, barring something changing with Andy Reid, and I don't think Andy Reid's going anywhere. I remember, you know, last Super Bowl, I asked Andy Reid. I was the one who was like, hey, are you staying? Like, when he won the Super Bowl, I was like, are you retiring? Like, can you definitively answer that you're going to be here next year? And the vibe I had gotten at that time was Andy doesn't want to go anywhere. He just wants a contract extension. Like, it's time. And it was sort of similar to when you started to hear
Did we lose Charles?
Charles? Hello? Hello? Charles?
Oh, sorry. Fat cheek. I got fat cheek the mute button. Every time a guy wins a Super Bowl, you always hear of, like, it's like a player or a coach. It's like, does he want to hang it up? They never want to hang it up after winning a Super Bowl, really. They want to get paid. And, you know, I think Andy was in that box last year. Once they did the contract extension, it was clear he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So Mahomes and Reed are going to be together for, I think it's fairly clear this is going to be another at least 3 or 4 years that Mahomes and Reed are together. And, you know, if he wins this one, there was a time maybe a year or two ago where I was like, are we really doing this with Mahomes? Are we really going to talk about, you know, can he accomplish what Brady did? I didn't think it was really possible. Now we're here and I'm like, yeah, this is totally possible. Like, he absolutely is a player who could play until he's 40 years old. He does a really good job of not taking hits, which I think Tom did really well over the course of his career, other than the one knee injury. You know, Mahomes, he gets banged up, but he never is – I don't think he ever gets, like, completely tattooed consistently in games where you're like, okay, he's going to have a shoulder, he's going to have some knees – and that will cut his career short. So I think he wins this one. Realistically, we are now talking about where does he already fit in that conversation with Brady. And I do think he has the potential to exceed it. The one thing I will say, it was funny because I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday. People can compare him to, like, Jordan, right? It's like the Michael Jordan talk. And I think it's, And some people say Tiger Woods. I think it more leans into Tiger Woods just because he has started so fast, so dominant, so quickly. And, you know, look, the three of us are all of a certain age. We remember when Tiger started out. We were like, he's going to smoke Jack Nicklaus's record. Like, this dude is flying. We have no idea what's coming. Next thing we knew, you know, his now ex-wife is smashing out the windows of the SUV with a golf club. And
life comes at you fast.
Yeah. Life comes at you fast. He's, you know, he's got a back injury that completely changes the trajectory of his career. You know, we don't know if that's something that's, you know, if there's something down the line that's potentially coming from Mahomes that could change this. But at the rate this is going, I don't think it's not absurd at all now to question whether or not he could exit this with 7 Super Bowls or more. I think Andy Reid, it was funny because we were talking about Belichick a couple of, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when we're talking about Belichick potentially coming back in the NFL, because of this idea he's chasing Don Shula's record for wins. I'm like, it can't be that important because he knows he's going to lose it anyway. Andy Reid is going to be the winningest coach in NFL history if he just hangs around. Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. So even if Belichick had broken that, he knows Andy Reid's coming on like a freight train and has the guy that's necessary to go another decade, you know, winning like this. So, yeah, it's miraculous that you know, this has kind of unfolded the way that it has for Mahomes, and the quality of how he plays and how the Chiefs tune it up and ratchet it up when they need to is really remarkable. I the one thing I will say, I'm going to be curious to see what happens when you take Travis Kelce away from him. That's the one player that has been the common thread through this. And in some ways, like when Brady was continuing, you know, to win Super Bowls, I always thought, like, man, Rob Gronkowski is really a piece for him that I'll be curious what this looks like when, you know, Rob eventually retires. I think it's the same with Kelce for Mahomes. I don't know. I think he's far more difficult to replace than even a Tyreek Hill.
So, Charles, a lot of conversation around here on the Sam Darnold front as it relates to quarterback and free agency. Now, we've had a lot of conversations with you about Sam Darnold throughout the year. I guess my question for you right now is, from the Minnesota perspective, what do you think the plan is for next year at quarterback? Like, is it as simple as Darnold's back? They won 14 games with him last year. He's the guy. Like, is Darnold on a short leash and they're going with McCarthy at the first sign of trouble? Like, how do you view that, and how realistic do you think it is that Darnold could be attainable for the Titans or anyone else this offseason?
Well, if you know, yeah, we've talked about him. We've talked about him repeatedly, but I think things changed so much the last two games of the season for him. Whereas, look, if you'd asked me, you know, first week of December, second week of December, I was definitely saying, hey, he's not going anywhere. Like, absolutely, they're at least franchising him. He will be back in 2025. There's no doubt. And then, you know, he loses his last two games, obviously against the Lions and then the first round against the Rams. And I think, and we may have discussed this on the show, like I talked to somebody in the franchise and I think the red flag for them was, you know, he lost them in different ways. It wasn't like it was this common thread of, okay, we looked at these two losses and they were it was the same issue. Like, you know, either he, you know, failed in this very specific way or we failed in this very specific way. I think their problem, and particularly head coach Kevin O'Connell's problem, was when he looked at it, Darnold had opportunities against Detroit that he just left on the table. Like, there were clearly moments where he could have seized that game and he just missed throws, was inaccurate. You know, it was totally a Sam problem. And then they play the Rams, and you know, that loss that I think the concerning quality of that for the Vikings was, he when he got pressured, there was a ton of pressure in that game. His clock sped up a ton, and he started to not see his reads downfield. I think I told you on the show, like when I talked to somebody in the organization, he had faded into pressure a couple of times. They're like, what is he doing? Like, why is he not stepping up out of this? You know, he's at a stage of his career where you can't be rattled and then fading into pressure. You can't be creating bigger problems for your offensive line by walking into sacks. And that was different than the Detroit game. He looked a lot like, against the Rams, he looked a lot like the Sam Darnold where he's quote-unquote seeing ghosts. He's not getting to second and third reads. He's seeing pressure that doesn't exist. And you know, I think for the Vikings, that was extremely alarming because they're like, oh, God, we just lost two huge games. But they were very different, and they all sort of focus on this guy. And so I think that really changed the dynamic. Then when you watch the post-game, you know, I'm sorry, post-season press conferences with Kevin O'Connell and the GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, they were very much leaving the door open to not having Sam Darnold in 2025. I still think part of this comes down to price. I think the Vikings are sitting there, and if they could have Sam Darnold back on a quote-unquote value contract, let's say it's like $35 million AAV, and they only have to give him 2 years of guaranteed money, I think they'd think long and hard about that because they would look at, okay, it's really a two-year deal. We're totally fine, you know, developing J.J. McCarthy for another 2 years. And we did get top level, you know, play out of Sam for the vast majority of this year. We just know now we really got to make sure we tune up that offensive line. We really got to make sure we have a better running back. Yes, he's got, you know, great skill position pieces, but, you know, running back and offensive line are two things that we have to focus on this offseason. I think if they feel like they could get him at 35, that would be a difference. If they don't, and I don't think they will anyway, I think there will be other interest out there. You know, beyond the Titans, I think the Raiders are a team that will look at him. I think there's probably a mystery team that'll get thrown in there. I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers got involved. I think there will be enough of an appetite for him that will limit the ability for the Vikings to get him back cheaply. And really that's what will turn them into the J.J. McCarthy plan. But I can't guarantee it because when you talk to teams right now, there are so many unknowns. It's crazy what this quarterback market could ultimately look like. We're finding out that Matt Stafford wants to play in 2025. I don't know yet what the Rams' appetite is to continue down that path another year with Stafford. You know, what's going to happen with Cousins? What's going to happen with both of the Steelers' quarterbacks? I could see a team, you know, whether it's the Raiders or someone else, saying, okay, we could bring in Russell Wilson as a bridge. Justin Fields, I could see a team saying, hey, he's got the talent to at least bring in and potentially allow him an opportunity to fight for our starting job, and we'll see if he's either a bridge quarterback or a young guy who can turn a corner, maybe like, you know, some of these other, like a Darnold has or a Geno Smith has elsewhere. But, I mean, this is going to be a wild offseason because there are just so many veteran quarterbacks. There's like four or five guys that really have to set the table before we even get to the draft and understand, you know, Jalen Milroe move up the charts? Can, you know, Jackson Dart's a really popular guy right now in personnel circles when you talk about a quarterback that has the ability to move up a draft board. How do Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, how do they ultimately slot themselves in this process? But yeah, I mean, it's wild to me because a couple of years ago I was talking to Sean Payton when, you know, Goff and Stafford were traded for each other. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, is this what the NFL is going to be like? Are we going to have veteran quarterbacks, accomplished quarterbacks, switching teams in the offseason like this? Is this great migration 1 year, or is this normal? And Peyton was like, let me see it for a couple of years. Like, 1 year, that's not a trend. Like, we have to see this for a few years. It's a trend now. Yep. It happens. So.
Okay, a couple of things following up on that. First of all, I guess I'm missing something with Stafford because, I mean, of all those people, to me, he'd easily be the most attractive option. What are the right. Rams going to do? And also, I wanted to real quickly get a follow-up on Jackson Dart. Are you suggesting that he's so popular that he could be, you know, Bo Nix and sneaking in the first round all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think Dart's got the potential for it. And I thought it before the Senior Bowl started because I knew, like, okay, Milroe and Dart, these are two guys that when you start to talk to personnel people and you're like, okay, let's get past Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Is there anybody else that, you know, is there any ability for quarterbacks to potentially move themselves in the process? And Milroe and Dart were the two guys that immediately – I had, you know, guys that were like, yeah, look, when the process started last year, we didn't think there were going to be six quarterbacks that were going to get, you know, taken in the first, you know, what was it, 12 picks. And no one would have believed that when the process started last year. We were like, you know, we started talking, we're like, oh, there's going to be five first-round quarterbacks. And it was like, oh, there could be six. No one thought these guys are all going to go in the top 12 picks. But because of the need, you know, and how quarterback works in this league, they always get pushed if they have talent to the top of the draft board. And I think this is going to be that case where two things. I mean, number one, we could see it could be different with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Maybe it won't go exactly the way we think. I mean, maybe one of these guys goes high. Another one maybe is Shedeur or Cam. I mean, we haven't really seen it unfold yet. One of these guys, quote unquote, slides a little bit. So maybe he's not a top two or three pick. Maybe he's a top 10 pick, but he goes a little further down than we thought. But in that same vein, we could potentially see, you know, Milroe. Milroe has a great week. From a running standpoint, from a tool standpoint, I mean, there's an argument to be made like, hey, compare him to Anthony Richardson and, you know, I mean, Anthony Richardson gets pushed up the board. Why wouldn't Milroe?
Except that we've seen Anthony Richardson in the league now. I mean, I don't think it's a good comparison anyway. I think Richardson's way more arm talent, but regardless.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, but there will be an argument. Like, guys will say he's a better runner than Richardson by far. Like, it's not even close. And we have seen him develop, at least there has been an arc of development in college. Now, he loses his offensive coordinator in Alabama after 2023. Being Tommy Rees, who's now he's obviously a coach for the Cleveland Browns. But people are going to say, well, geez, he took this huge step forward in 2023. Then the offensive staff changes at Alabama. He's not there in 2024. And that, you know, maybe that's the reason why. Teams start to create reasons why a guy flattens out, you know, the development flattens out. So I could see that argument made with Milroe because of what changed on that offensive staff in 2023 and 2024. Takes a big step in 2023, staff changes, that growth flattens out in 2024. But you could see teams making an excuse saying, no, you know, had everything remained the same, he would have taken another step forward. There's an element of continuity that was important in Alabama that he didn't have. And, you know, that matters. And so all of a sudden, Milroe starts to get pushed up. Now he has to do well, obviously, in the pre-draft process. He has to do well at the Senior Bowl. Dart's the same kind of situation. And I had already heard guys saying, look, you know, we get it. There's some things not to like about Dart, but if you go across the board in terms of size, you know, what he can do in an offense, statistics, the conference he played in, he checks all these different boxes. And then if he has a really good run up to the draft, that's a guy that could get pushed up the draft board. And then Jim Nagy comes out in his Senior Bowl press conference and says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, you know, when I added Dart, it was, I think he said it was the most calls he'd ever gotten from teams after adding a quarterback to the mix at the Senior Bowl of, like, ever. Like, Dart was the most calls he's ever gotten, or messages, I'm sorry, messages from, you know, guys across the league. So that instantly creates additional buzz. But even before that, I had already heard, like, you know, hey, don't be surprised if maybe some of these teams at the end of the first round that have potentially aging quarterbacks or changes that could be made at quarterback if Jackson Dart starts to be that. I mean, I heard with the Rams, you know, that was a guy. He was a guy, you know, that potentially if Stafford is absolutely not a Ram in the, you know, 2025 season, that Dart was a player that they really liked. So, yeah, they could affect the process. And, you know, I was talking to a GM a couple, you know, weeks ago just about what the draft was going to look like from a quarterback perspective. And he said then, when we started last year, you had no idea that Bo Nix was going to end up going where you thought he was going to go. You had no idea that Michael Penix was going to be, you know, maybe he could be a fringe first round pick. He goes at 8. He's like, you know, we have no clue at this point what the development process is going to look like for these teams sifting guys out. So I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up going from 2 quarterbacks to maybe 4 by the time we get to the draft in April.
Charles, very interesting stuff, man. Really appreciate your time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you next week.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
Yep, you as well. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Lots of really interesting stuff there from Charles on the quarterback front. We'll get to all of it coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville's best deal this week is Single Tree Barbecue in Murfreesboro. Single Tree Barbecue, a local veteran-owned and operated business, only serving world-class barbecue with the perfect combinations of sides and desserts. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. Joe, a couple of things there. Pretty interesting. Says that some talk around the league that Jackson Dart could sneak into the first round there and add another quarterback to the mix in terms of first round potential options. Let's start there. What do you make of that Charles just kind of threw out there on Jackson Dart?
Surprises me. I mean, I hadn't really considered that, but it sounds like there's quite a bit of chatter in that regard. And I hear what Charles is saying, and again, the phrasing is important on Jalen Milroe, which is basically teams making excuses for him and talk themselves into, yeah, you know, changed OCs, changed system, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see it with him. I don't see it with Jalen Milroe. And I will say that, I know, as you know, Robbie, I'm an expert quarterback evaluator. I'm always right about it. A year ago, I was absolutely like, okay, you know, take another step, and yes. But I thought he was so bad this year, second half of the year. I don't know what happened. Maybe there's some explanation. Maybe he had a broken thumb. We didn't know about it. But he just was terrible. Terrible.
Apparently he wasn't
football.
Very good at the Senior Bowl the other day.
Either. Yeah. So I just.
Take that for what it's worth.
I would be shocked. I mean, I would be surprised if Jackson Dart gets the first round too. But I'd be shocked if Milroe gets in the first round. But like you said, you know, these quarterbacks get pushed up.
Yeah.
And teams need quarterbacks. And I mean, the Rams thing is just, I don't know. Like, the Rams going to trade out Stafford for Jackson
Dart?
Well,
look, if Matt Stafford is available this offseason, then, I mean, that, to me, changes the quarterback discussion a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
I think it has to. You know, he brought up Darnold. So, you know, we've talked with Charles about Darnold all year because we've known that quarterback conversations are coming for the Titans. That was a different tone on the Darnold front than he's had really at any point this year in terms of the actual realism that he could be available. You know, obviously the way their season ended has affected people within that building. Now, I still think it makes a lot of sense to tag him, and then you can either trade him after that or you can start next season off with him as your quarterback and kind of slow play it with J.J. McCarthy. So if I had to bet, that's still probably the way I think this ends up going here. But that sounded to me from Charles there that he was more open towards the idea of him being attainable this offseason than at any point where we've talked to him this year.
Yeah, and I get it because played well, and then you get to those big moments. And there was an interesting point he made, too, about how it was two different kinds of failures from him in those games. So I just have a hard time believing that they're going to say, hey, the rookie, we loved him. Sure, he's coming off an ACL and has never played a snap in the NFL, but let's go. Because, you know, we're just following up a 14-win season.
Right.
Let's throw caution to the wind. Hard for me to believe they're going to do that, but maybe those two games really soured them.
Maybe so. I mean, look, they've made no secret about it either. I mean, they love J.J. McCarthy. So do they feel like he's ready to play next year? That's also the interesting thing is, like, if they do bring back Darnold, how short of a leash is he on? Like, if he struggles out of the gate, are they immediately turn into McCarthy? Even if they give Darnold a lot of money, either via tag or a short deal that Charles was talking about there. And also, like, if you're Darnold, what's the market going to be like for you this offseason if you made it to free agency? Like, did the last two games scare people off enough where they're not willing to hand you the deal that you're wanting? I mean, look, I think the idea that
someone
he's going to make, you know, $50+ million a year on like a 4-year deal is probably out the door, given the way that the season ended. But will somebody commit to him more than Minnesota is willing to?
I would have to think so. And look, it could be this is a prime candidate as a franchise that would look at that and say, hey,
yeah,
that's good quarterback play. Sign up for that. Build the team. And then maybe, you know, maybe he can take another step, or if not, you've gotten yourself back into the land of the living.
We will we'll have to kind of drill down a little bit more on the Stafford part of this next week, because to me, you know, if he's available and he wants to play, then I think that changes the conversation, not just for the Titans, but like the whole league. Like he would be the best option, I think, available via free agency if he's out there, even at his age, I think.
Yeah. He's still, I mean, look, that team was banged up. First of all, his number one receiver for a long time is diminishing, and Puka Nacua was hurt half the year. When they had everything together, I thought he looked like Matthew Stafford to me.
Yeah.
He's 36.
I think he'll be 37 in a month.
A young pup. Yeah. You got 5 more years left in you, Matt. What are you doing?
He'll be 37 on February the 7th, so here in the next week or so. Happy birthday, Matt.
Yeah. Happy birthday, executive co-producer Tom Izzo, by the way. 70 years old.
Yeah,
today.
Absolutely. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More thoughts on what Charles Robinson had to say as it relates to the quarterback position for the Titans this offseason and some potential options that could be available. We'll wrap up the show with that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders taking on New Mexico State at the Murphy Center. Tip-off at 6:30, pregame beginning at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Lots of thoughts to get to on the quarterback front. Gino says Sam Darnold doesn't have the, quote, nervous system that Callahan is looking for, which he is quoted about saying is the most important QB trait that he's looking for. This is from Gino on the text line. Doesn't have the nervous system.
He's saying Darnold doesn't.
Darnold, yes.
For a minute you said Gino. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, Gino talking, is the texter.
We talking Gino Smith now? Gino is he available? Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, look, Darnold surprised me last year. I definitely think more of him now than I did a year ago. I definitely did think about, you know, Cinderella and the pumpkin, you know, when I was watching the last two games. But he's one of the better options out there for sure. Speaking of Geno, now I think of the Seahawks, which makes me think of, you know, the Russell Wilson thing's interesting too.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we don't ever talk about Russell Wilson. I'm not suggesting that he'd be, like, top of my list, but that is going to be really interesting with the Steelers and what they decide to do moving forward.
Are the Steelers going to choose one of those two guys, or do they have somebody else in mind? Like, is Kirk Cousins a landing spot? Is Pittsburgh a landing spot for Kirk Cousins? And again, like, if Stafford becomes available, how much does that change this? Like, how does do the Steelers go after Stafford at that point? Like, Stafford and his availability with the Rams could be a game changer in all this.
Yeah, we know that there's going to be a couple quarterbacks in a couple places that we had no idea, and we're going to be it happens every year, which is fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes it a lot more fun. Not that the NFL needed any help, you know, commanding headlines in the offseason, but there's going to be some surprises. Yeah, it's interesting from the Stafford perspective on that. I mean, if I'm Stafford, yes, I still have a lot of game left, I think. I want to keep playing. I also want a chance to win. Do you want to go to the AFC? Like, if you're a quarterback now, wouldn't you rather be in the NFC just because, at least from a quarterback perspective, you don't have to get past all these guys who are so freaking good?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, having said that, the NFC had two 14-win teams this year. What were the Eagles? A 13-win team. You had the Packers at 11 wins. Like, it's pretty loaded conference.
Yeah, but the NFC North is just like the SEC, man.
Just faded out in the playoffs. Yeah.
Fake, you know, paper lion.
Apparently so. I'm with you. Like, the path is easier in the NFC just based on the quarterbacks that you don't have to deal with. Now, you know, there's Jaden Daniels coming up. We'll see if he turns into one of those guys.
Yeah.
But no doubt, I mean, you're not staring down the barrel of Patrick Mahomes in the AFC, which right now is the great separator. With Burrow and Allen in there as well, and Jackson.
Though I could see the Steelers' job being attractive to someone who thinks that they could be the difference maker, and a really good quarterback could be. Russell was good for a while this last year, but then he kind of
faded.
Faded, and then some bad turnovers late in some of those huge games. So if you're Stafford and you feel like they can shore up some things offensively, they've got the interesting thing with Pickens too, who is an incredible talent, but is obviously disruptive and you know, a pain in the butt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
Their D's kind of getting older, and it's just not the same D it was.
Yeah. I mean, but they always find a way. Like, find a way to be decent and in the mix. Quarterback and what they do there is going to be really interesting. And then the fallout from that. So, like, if they decide to go in a different direction, whether that's Cousins, Stafford, whoever, like, who's interested in Russell Wilson? Who's interested in Justin Fields? Like, I still got a tough time believing that Justin Fields is going to be a starter somewhere next year, but maybe he will. I mean, it just depends on kind of how everything slots up there. Like, I would probably rather go get, in terms of a bridge quarterback, Russell Wilson before I did Justin Fields. But, like, what do the Raiders do? Like, what are the Raiders doing at quarterback? And how do they – like, a lot of these decisions, Joe, are going to be made before the draft. Like, these free agency decisions – are going to be made before the draft. So we're going to have a pretty good picture maybe of the way teams are thinking when these quarterbacks become available.
Yeah.
Including the Titans.
Yeah, the draft will be – it will just look so different than it does now because we'll have so much more information on quarterbacks going to different places. The Raiders feel to me like – although it's not like Pete Carroll's there for the 10-year plan, they do feel to me like a team that needs to get in here and draft somebody.
And he's had Russell Wilson before.
Well, there is that. Yeah, that's interesting. I saw someone writing about the possible reunion there with Russ and – were he and Pete Carroll
kind of
cool?
Not in great?
Yeah, I thought it wasn't exactly the greatest of terms. But maybe I'm just thinking of all the teammates who weren't invited to his birthday party. I don't know. I can't keep up with Russ.
I can't either. And then Darnold. Let's say Darnold becomes available. So Darnold's available, and Stafford's available. Like I think Stafford slots in ahead of Darnold there in terms of like desirability.
Would to me, absolutely.
Particularly if you're a team like Pittsburgh, it feels like you're just a quarterback away right now. So what does that do for Darnold? And like, where do the Titans fall in the pecking order of all this? Let's say they're interested in the veteran quarterback. Well, if I'm Matt Stafford and I'm looking at the Titans right now, I understand money talks, but there's a whole lot of money you'd have to give me to come be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans right now.
I don't see it at all. I think a guy like that would be so hard to get. It'd be harder than. With Darnold, first of all, you take a good contract if you can get it.
You've
earned it, but you take that. And with Darnold, you could be talked into, hey, you grow with this team. You can help lead this franchise back. And we got all these new – we got like 17 different GMs.
Stafford doesn't have that long left.
Right. Like a Darnold, I could see being more attracted to a situation like this, that being a more viable – yeah, Stafford's going somewhere. And, like, again, I don't know that you look at the Steelers if you're Stafford and I mean it's the Steelers. It's a legendary organization. It's a great organization, but do you really look like you can go there and get them over the hump?
No, we just rolled through all those quarterbacks and didn't even bring up old Pawpaw, Aaron Rodgers, out there. What's he gonna do?
Well, someone in the text line just said, let's get all Wes in Clarksville, let's get all the fame and fortune. Draft Shador, bring in Aaron Rodgers to mentor him.
Yeah,
you sign
well.
Aaron Rodgers, and you draft Shador and you got the mentor. What a quarterback room that would be.
That's who you want
I'm
as a
here
mentor.
For it.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jonathan says, what about Marcus? Good point.
Marcus will be out there.
But if I'm the Commanders, don't you like that as a backup? I think stylistically.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not that different.
Yeah.
Just stay there.
Just go back to being the backup in Washington. Yeah, he got in a game this year, played well.
And then he got in against the Lions, and I don't know what the heck happened there. Didn't matter, though. They still beat the Lions by a million. Take a shot at the Lions in the show.
They did. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Loaded show tomorrow. We'll have Stilly. We'll have Andrew Burnett, TD. So lots to get into on the program tomorrow. Hope everybody has a fabulous rest of their day. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino.